Welcome to this month's Awobble Pod podcast. I'm Rod Smith from Awobbical. I'm not the man with the golden microphone or voice, but I am the man with a homemade hand-painted gold spear, which has completely nothing to do with this show. Today's guest does have golden feet. She's worn the gold and green jersey for our country and has weaved and attacked her way through many attacks and defenses. She was born in a little country town, but we won't hold that against her. But she is born and bred 100% Newcastle. She's played internationally, nationally, and has been a part of the Women's A League and captaincy for the Newcastle Jets for many years. Ladies and gents, I present the feather foot of football, the header of all heads, ready to get set before I put you back in the back of the net, the one and only Gemma Simon. You like that?
That was impressive. I'm impressed with that, actually.
Would you like me to do that all again, see if I can go faster?
Yeah, if you want.
No, we'll go from there. So how about I just try it? How are you, Gemma Simon? It's been a while since I've seen you.
I'm pretty good. Enjoying life, just playing football. Season's almost done, so just trying to keep the body together for the last game this weekend.
I was looking up your age.
Yeah, 30 now. 31 in July. I look all right, eh?
No. July what? July what?
19th.
Ooh, I'm second.
Are you?
For my podcast listeners out there, I'm the big 5-0 this year, so if you'd like to send me something, just send it to. Anyway, we'll get on with the show, hey? Okay, so I've asked the first one. Now, as I said in the intro, you pretty much are born and bred Newcastle, but you wasn't born here, was you?
No, I was born in Armidale, and then
our family. Was there a flood or something going on, and you just...
Yeah, I was just done with it. It was snowing. It was too cold for me, so then came back down here.
Were your parents living there at the time, or were they living here?
I think they went up to Armidale. So they were down here, and then they went up there for a week or something, and then Mum went into the hospital, and then they told her that they had to induce her. There was some complications and stuff, so they weren't sure if we were both going to make it. So Dad had to choose, and he chose Mum, so... But luckily, we both survived, and I came out healthy, and she was good too.
Wow, that's a story there.
Yeah.
I've said the same thing to my kids.
Yeah.
Something between you and your mum, your kids are gone. I love yous, but see yous later.
Yeah.
So where did you grow up in Newcastle? Did you move around, or was it just the one place?
Grew up in Glendale until I was about 12, and then we moved to Fennel Bay, and then lived there until I was about... I think I moved out of home at about 19, 20, maybe 20. And then, lived in Adamstown and then now living out at Crowder's Bay. So, yeah, lived in Newcastle my entire life.
I just love watching Andy, our cameraman, crawl along the floor. You should have just made it blatant, brother. I've just put you in the podcast. Now, I know your sister, she had a little baby. So you're Auntie Gemma now, are you?
Yeah.
Is that the first?
Cute. Yeah.
Yeah? How's that all going?
I love it. I still don't believe that she had the child. I'm like, whose child is this? Because she's so cute too, like annoyingly cute, but I love it. I love dressing her in the same outfits and getting photos. So I just get photos with her and I make Simone take it. So
you're spoiling her up?
Yeah. But I think my sister's probably mad at me at the moment because I haven't seen him in a couple of weeks. So I think I'm in trouble.
Family. So talking about family, how important is family? And has family played a big part in making who Gemma Simon is?
Yeah, of course. I think family is big for me just because of my Indigenous background as well. I think even in terms of football, they did everything they could for me when we were younger. We didn't grow up with a lot of money, so they worked really hard to make sure that I had the opportunities that I had. They got a lot of sponsorship and they got a lot of help from family as well. So like my nan and like aunties and stuff would all kind of chip in and help out. So I think if without my family, I wouldn't have been able to achieve what I have in football.
Yeah. What school did you go to?
Hunter Sports High. I went to Glendale East Primary School and I went to Hunter Sports in Gateshead.
Was it called Hunter Sports High then?
Yeah. It doesn't look like it does now, that's for sure.
Oh, I dropped past there the other day. It is crazy.
Yeah, it's incredible now what they have there.
It's amazing looking. So you were pretty much drafted to go there for soccer?
Yeah. So I did soccer. I did soccer as like a targeted sport, as my targeted sports program, and then did athletics and cross country and played touch as well.
Did it help?
I it was really good to kind of have the balance between, study and football. And I think it kind of helped me want to be at school even more because I knew I had the sports side as well. And I knew that if I wasn't doing what I needed to do in the classroom, that I wouldn't be able to play.
Because I've actually spoken to quite a few parents whose kids have gone there, but I've never actually spoken to the student or someone who's gone through there and just said, what was it like? Like, did it help in also in your development on the professional side of things?
Yeah, of course. So we had an extra two. So we trained twice a week with the school, and like all through high school, we got to train with the girls and the boys. So I think that really helped my development. And yeah, I had a lot of support from the staff as well. And if we're away for sport and whatnot, like they'd make sure that I had time to kind of make sure I was doing the right thing study-wise as well.
Who was you playing for around that time during your high school?
Because
if you, I mean, you would have been playing for the school, but
yeah,
would you? You'd do,
playing at school.
You would have been doing weekend soccer.
Yeah, so I think I played for a couple of different clubs, and back then we played for Macquarie, so we played rep as well. So that was like I think maybe once a month. So we'd maybe train there, maybe two or three times a week. Plus I'd have.
Who did you say Macquarie?
Macquarie.
Who's
so,
that?
You know where Lake Macquarie is, like the like Treadney Oval. So not that one, the one next to it.
Oh, okay.
So there used to be like a little rep thing that you'd go and play like different, like Hunter Valley and like Oxley and teams like that. So you'd have that once a month and you'd play, I think it was like two games on a Sunday or something. And then you'd have your club team as well. So then I'd be training a couple of times a week with that team as well and then playing on a Saturday. So lots of football.
Two-part question. How did you get into soccer? And then tell me like the progression of it, like, I know from the sports side of things, there's going to be a... Did you have to trial at some point? Yeah, but where did it start off? And also, I think years ago, was it your first love in sport?
Oh, 100%. Still in love with it now, to be fair. But I don't
Didn't
think I have
you tell me
longer.
A long time ago that you probably would have preferred to play footy?
Yeah, so I wanted to play league because I grew up playing footy in the backyard, like rugby league or footy in the backyard with all my cousins and stuff. So I wanted to play league. And my parents told me I was too small, so they put me in soccer. And then, yeah, I just fell in love with it and then just never really looked back. So I guess with the progressions and stuff, I guess I started playing club when I was five. Moved around, played for lots of different clubs in Newcastle. Played, I guess, in teams that I guess we wanted to win things. And then I played in teams with cousins and stuff as well, which was fun. So I kind of, it was a kind of a mix of that up until I was about... I think I started playing rep soccer when I was about nine. We played in like an under-12s team, so played in that, and that was for Macquarie. So I think I played there until I was around maybe 15, and then went to Hunter Sports High. So then I guess I was seen by different coaches and I guess teams that were higher up, like Young Matildas and stuff like that, playing against teams in Sydney, in schools in Sydney.
Okay.
So that helped as well with getting identified. And, yeah, I guess we played for Northern New South Wales as well, so we had state titles and things like that. So, yeah, like lots of different avenues where you could kind of get identified. And then when I finished school, I was in NSWIS as well for maybe like five or so years.
What's
so
that?
New South Wales Institute of Sport. So that used to be... a program that was run. There was one in Newcastle, one in Sydney. So I was a part of that for a few years. So, and then once I finished, I think my roles in year 12, the Newcastle Jets, so the W League started. I trialed for that and then I made the squad.
That's for the Jets?
Yeah, for the Jets. And then I've just kind of been playing W League ever since. So this is my 13th season in the W League. This is my 12th year with Newcastle, and I played a season with Melbourne Victory maybe like 5 or 6 years ago as well.
I asked Edric Lee a question about, because he came through the ranks too. Is there an age where you got to where you went, okay, I've got to take this seriously, you know, this is professional now, you know, and maybe your diet changed and your thinking, you've got to train more. Was it, can you remember, is there an age where you went, oh wow, this is where reality kind of sets in, I've got to be better? I don't know if that's the right
I think looking back, all I wanted to do was play football. Like I knew that that's what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to play professionally, and I just kind of, I would have been probably, I honestly couldn't tell you an age, but yeah, I think there was just a time where I was like, I just want to play football. So everything I did was for football. So I made sure that I guess, and having like, I guess, older cousins and stuff that have, that were training with, not the NRL tiers, but like just under it, and kind of seeing what happened with them and then kind of what didn't work out for them and why they didn't make it kind of thing. And I wanted to be different. I wanted to make sure that I looked after my body, that, that I was doing all the right things, that I was going to training and, yeah, just all little things like that. I guess I kind of saw what a lot of family was doing, and that, like, each to their own, and I'm happy that that's what they want to do with their lives and whatnot. But I guess I wanted to be different, and I wanted to kind of break the mold, and I guess kind of make it where other people kind of fell a little bit short, to kind of show that it is possible if you kind of are prepared to kind of give up all the other little things, and like all the drinking and the, I guess, going out and smoking and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, exactly. So I've just
I wish someone would have told me that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, like, a lot of people aren't kind of shown the right ways to do things, or what's going to help them. I kind of, you kind of get stuck in crowds, and then you're like, oh, you kind of don't want to miss out on that. And
yeah,
I guess when you're younger, you kind of just go with the crowd a lot of time. So it's kind of hard to break that mold, and it's, I think that hard is a if you don't big have issue. Support.
Yeah, I think that's a big issue, you know, with a lot of people, but I think especially with our mob, I think there is that, I want to hang with my cousins, and I know we're, you know, and I know it's going to be fun doing this, but at some point you've got to make that hard decision. Is your meal plans, as you said, now that you're getting more mature, let's say that, is your meal plan different to, you know, 12 years ago when you were like 17, 18?
I guess back then, like, I didn't really know too much about health and what was healthy and what I should be eating and what I shouldn't be eating and what times I should be doing these things to make sure that my performance is, I guess, up to the standard. And then I went through a phase where I ate really, really healthy, but I guess I wasn't as happy because I was so strict with everything.
Oh, yeah.
And now I've kind of gone to just everything in moderation. So chocolate's my thing.
Yeah.
So I love chocolate. So
yeah, me too.
I have chocolate pretty much every day, but it's just in moderation. So I'll have a little bit, and I know that if I want to have that, then I have to be good in other areas. So I think now I'm more about enjoying life, enjoying food, but just to an extent, and knowing what I'm doing with my week as well in terms of fitness and, I guess, my input of food and then output of what I'm doing exercise-wise.
Does, like, in league and that, I suppose I know more about that side of things, and, you know, you get to, like, you make rep teams, and then there's state teams. Is there state teams for soccer? Like, I know you played for the Matildas. Like, how did that happen? Is it just they just selected from the A-League, or is there, like, state versus state, like, in state of origins in the soccer?
Yeah, so I guess I guess there's lots of identification camps and stuff like that for, like, young Matildas coming through. So I guess if you get identified at whatever kind of level, so I think there's lots of different avenues now, like, I guess, so playing W League, playing for the Jets, we have a Emerging Jets Academy that play in the Sydney League. And then, so, like, that's kind of a pathway, but that's not necessarily the only pathway, but I guess that's helpful. With the Matildas, I think I was identified during W League. So I'd played Young Matildas as well before W League started. So I guess I was identified there as well, and then started playing W League. And
clarify a little bit more. What is Young Matildas compared to Matildas?
So Matildas is just open age, and Young Matildas could be like different age groups. So like under 18s or under 21s. Or
okay. What 15, was yours?
16s. I think ours was maybe 19s.
Yeah.
So we had like World Cup qualifiers in, I think it was China.
Oh.
Yeah, we didn't qualify at that point, but but it was still like a pretty awesome experience.
So did you go to China, or was...
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How did it feel being selected for that, and how did it feel, you know, from your, as you're saying, your humble beginnings to being to that? What was that like? Do you have flashbacks or anything, or are you just caught up in the moment?
I don't know. I think not really too much with the Young Matilda stuff, but more so, I guess, making my Matilda's debut.
Yeah.
So playing for the national team for the first time, or even just being selected, like... I just remember being so excited. I think I cried, actually. just because So my pop passed when I was like 15, and I made a promise to him that I'd make it.
Yeah.
Since, like, whenever. And that took... I didn't make my debut until I was maybe 23.
Yeah.
So, like, that took, what, like 8 years. Mm. But I was just determined to kind of fulfill that promise that I'd made, and then I guess I was...
Do you remember where you was? And
no, and I don't remember. I don't remember, but it had, like, you know how you have Facebook and have, like, flashbacks and stuff, like the things that come up? So that came up, like, maybe a couple of... in the last couple of months. So it's just... I don't know. It was just a really exciting time for not only me, but my family as well, because they'd kind of sacrificed so much for me to do what I wanted to do. And I think it was kind of rewarding for not only me, but my family as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I have to say it was exciting for the community too. I mean, funny enough, I knew your parents well, but I didn't know you.
Yeah.
So, you were just, you know, living that professional life and school and all that. But
it's kind of hard.
Knocked around with your folks a lot.
Yeah, because you kind of disappear, like, when you're kind of committed to something and when you're so focused on, I guess, wanting to get to where you want to be, you kind of disappear on everyone, and that's not necessarily a bad thing at the time. And I guess people closest to you and people that support you will understand why you do it. So, like, my family's, like, even all my cousins and stuff, like, close with my cousins, and, like, we grew up together, and they're, like, so supportive, like, even still. And I think a big thing for me is them saying that I haven't changed. Like, you know how, like, I guess some people kind of change once they've kind of, I guess, made it to where they want to be. So I guess that's kind of something that I'm kind of proud of, that I haven't changed who I am because of what I've done.
So when you got that, the gold jersey, was it all gold or was it yellow or was it green?
I think so. I couldn't even tell you.
But when you got it and the first time you put it on, maybe the... Now, let me ask you, when you're in the sheds and you're getting ready, what was that feeling like, representing your country?
Nervous. Just excited.
And who was
it
against,
nervous.
And where was that?
That was, I think it was in Cyprus, maybe against Scotland, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or Ireland, one of them, I'm not sure. But, it was in Cyprus, and I think I was just so excited. Just so excited about everything, because it was, like, my first trip away with the Matildas, and... I lost my luggage too for like a couple of days, so it didn't arrive. So I had what I had on plus like maybe one like change of like bra and undies, and that was it. And I just got through like 2 days without everything. So, but even with that, I was like, didn't care, happy just to be there. And unfortunately, we lost our first game. But it was still very memorable, and it was just nice to kind of get to that point.
So talking about the Matildas, is it true that yourself and only five other Indige girls have made the Matildas?
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Do we
have a lot of young girls or girls in the lower levels, like rep teams and that, and maybe, or is it just not, we still too much footy focused?
I think it's really a combination of things. I think there's so much untapped potential in like the Indigenous kids, like athletes, like they're just incredible athletes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's just untapped, and I think, I guess, what we spoke about earlier about having those opportunities and kind of knowing what to do with certain things, and I guess kind of, like a lot of them wouldn't be seen with football. I guess like in northern New South Wales, we don't have a lot of identification stuff for Indigenous kids. With football, where you see they have it with rugby league, they have it with AFL, they have it with other sports. Mm. So I think maybe it's just a combination of different things. And I guess, like, money's a big thing and sport is getting more expensive. So some families can't afford it, to be fair. And it's just unfortunate that, like, it's sad, really, that, like, kids could be missing out on, like, opportunities and like, even just people being able to see that these kids can play is,
hopefully
a big change.
Yeah, I mean... I sent you a text to see if you'd catch me boy side.
Yeah.
We signed him up on the weekend. Yeah, it's like, I think it was $160, $180. And he's playing under sixes, you know?
Yeah, like registration's expensive as it is, let alone the gear and stuff as well. So,
Now, I did see your Facebook page, and it said, Gemma Simon calls for Indigenous round in A-League.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that?
So I did a radio interview with, I think it might have been... ABC.
Yep.
And to be fair, I wasn't sure that that's what it was. Like, I didn't kind of get a heads up or anything that that's where the interview was going or that's what it was about. But I'd love to see an Indigenous round in the, like, the W League and the A League.
Yeah.
I think it'd be incredible, and hopefully it happens before I retire. So hopefully it happens soon. I think it'd just mean a lot to the community. And I think it's well overdue because a lot of other sports have been doing it. So
yeah,
it'd be incredible to see in soccer.
Yeah, and as I said, having something like that would also bring a lot of promotion to the game and then to our communities and people too. So, yeah, I would love, and hopefully I can be a part of that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll design a jersey. Who knows? But we'll see how it goes. Let me see. Now, to get to that professional level, as I was tapping on there earlier, health, and I know, like a few years ago when I saw you, especially I think when you came back from overseas, you've had some serious injuries in that.
Yeah.
So with your health and all that, and the injuries, how are you looking after yourself with that? And has the health side of it, you said with your food and all that, helping you with all that side of thing, like your knowledge and wisdom now?
Yeah, I guess for me, especially because I've been playing for so long, so I've had a surgery on both knees now.
Yeah.
And I think I'm probably due for another one on this one. It's an everyday thing. Like you can't kind of, it can't be like here and there. You can't be like, oh, like 1 week I'm going to do the right things, and then the next week you just kind of go about your day.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a consistent, it's ongoing. So I guess a general week or even a day for me, like I would ice probably about 2-3 hours a day.
Really?
I ice when I go to bed. Yeah. Like I ice because I've got, I guess, a lot of little things I've kind of built up over the years. So like ice every day, make sure I'm stretching. Pressure pointing is a massive one for me. Like I have rollers, I have a gym at home as well. So I just make sure that I have everything that I need, make sure I go and see the physio, make sure I get my treatment, make sure I'm honest about how I feel. If I get to training and I'm like, I know my body's not right, I know like it just feels off, like I'll be honest with the staff, and then they will kind of taper the session, or I'll be like, okay, you're doing this instead of this, just to kind of look after you, because if you're not honest about how you're feeling, then I guess you can't really get the treatment that you need.
It's a bit different to the 80s when I played. I remember, I think I broke my leg, my dad just sticky taped it back up and said, go on boy, you'll be right.
You'll be right. You definitely have moments like that as well, that's for sure.
I asked you before before the podcast about a health topic that's near to you, and you said mental health.
Yeah.
I know in league there's a lot of support around that. What about in the soccer, and especially with the Women's A League, and you know that, unfortunately, we still have that thinking that, you know, women are this and below us and all that. You know, is there that added pressure and issues? Do you feel that, or do you feel like it's even?
I feel like it's a little bit different, I guess. So with the W League and the Jets, so we don't really have anyone that kind of looks after that side of things. But we have a players' federation.
Yep.
That's run outside of W League.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And they kind of look after everything, and they have like sports psychs that you could talk to, and people you can kind of reach out to for help if you need it. So and all players that are signed up for that have access to that as well. So, and that's been a thing that's only come in the last couple of years. So. And I think that's a massive thing, because I think, especially being a female athlete, you've got to do everything, I guess, in terms of working. So most of our girls work like full-time jobs. And our contracts, so our W League contracts, are only 20 or 22 weeks. So, and then you pretty much look after yourself for half the year. And then you got to come back in. You have a six-week preseason. And then you're expected to perform at the level that, I guess, the men are.
Yeah.
Where, so I guess it's a lot of things that you have to juggle.
So it's hard to... So it's on the career side of things. So it's hard to play women's league professionally full-time.
Oh, 100%. Without working. Yeah. So our minimum wage is $16,400, maybe.
Per player.
Yeah. So that's the minimum that you'll get, and I think majority of our squad is close to that, or on that, or close to that, and that's meant to get you through 22 weeks of football.
Yeah.
And that's before tax. So then you have tax taken out on top of that, and you're super.
You get more money from being on Centrelink, I think.
Yeah, yeah, after tax and everything else, yeah, you probably wow. would.
So what do you do to help yourself with, on the other side of that, to pay bills and like?
Yeah, well, I guess you got to work. So I have been doing some stuff out in the community, yep. Just going and speaking to like to schools and stuff like that, and doing clinics and kind of getting involved in different things. Just you have to, like, you have to do it if you want to, I guess, live yeah. comfortably, like pay your mortgage. You've got all your general bills and stuff as well, and then you're trying to look after your body and do all this other stuff at the same time. So it is very tough to be a female athlete, but I just take my hat off to the girls that do it, because it's a big commitment. And they do it so well.
Before we finish up, like you were saying, before you retire, you'd love to see an Indigenous round. Is there anything you'd like to see that you'd like to be a part of, maybe setting up here, maybe for more Indigenous girls to get into soccer? Have you ever thought about something like that?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. That's what I want to kind of do when I'm done with football. I want to somehow figure out how to give back to the community.
Yeah.
And then help even with football or whatever, I guess, young Indigenous kids want to do. Because it's not, I guess, yeah, anything they want to do, whatever they're passionate about, I'd love to help them kind of achieve and kind of get to where they want to be with it. So, yeah, I'd definitely look into something like that when I'm done with football.
Well, Gemma, as I said, knowing your family and as you said, growing up like in the same place as where I grew up, and to get where you've achieved is astonishing just on that, and also as a female, as a woman in this world. So I would like to just say congratulations. You've been a great ambassador for our people and also for this town and also for your family. I knew your pop, and what was the slide guitar?
Oh, yeah, the steel.
Steel guitar, yeah. Yes. At all our little events, they'd be sitting there with the steel guitar. Yeah. So it was a pleasure having you, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you.